Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Well, I want to begin sharing part two of the Gospel of the Kingdom. I just even love saying it. The gospel of the kingdom just sounds so great. It is. I know to other people, I mean, those words bring up all different kind of things in their minds. It is powerful. It is the good news that changes everything. And the kingdom, there's so much in the kingdom. We'll talk for weeks on that. But we're going to talk about the gospel of the kingdom, this thing that Jesus told us to talk about and shared with us to give away. And empowered us to share. He really has empowered us to share this. And it is the most remarkable story. But this gospel of the kingdom is the understanding that God is real and that he loves every person. He loves us all. And every person on the earth has sinned, has fallen short of the purpose that God made us for, every single person. And sin can only be paid for by blood. That's how God set it up. May not make a lot of sense to us, but that's the way that it is for thousands of years. Animals paid through their lives the blood that covered over sin. Didn't wipe it away, but it covered over it. And God, through his love, sent his son as the perfect lamb with the perfect blood to be shed one time for all time, to ransom you and I from a kingdom of darkness to be brought into the kingdom of light of his son, cleansed from our sin so that we can live a fully life today and into eternity. And then this son, Jesus, who died for us and ransomed us, was dead only 3 days because death couldn't hold him in the grave. The spirit of life came into that grave, raised him to life. He was resurrected, and then he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to come to the earth to live on the inside of everyone who would believe in him, who would believe this crazy story. This story that is real, though it might seem crazy. That's the gospel of the kingdom that he's given to us. John 3:16-17, which we all know, for God so loved the world, that's how it starts, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God loves us, and he gave his very best. This is this wonderful gospel of the kingdom, this story that's your story and my story, the whole world's story. Our story is intersected with God's story. That's where we get saved. That's where we become born again, when we believe this gospel of the kingdom, a kingdom that we can't see, but it's more real than anything we know. The gospel of the kingdom is such a different story that it's not just inspirational. Some stories cause your mind to just be inspired in some ways or think a little differently. Some stories cause your heart to come alive and are inspirational. But the gospel of the kingdom is, it's those things, but it's way beyond that. It's a story that also, though it's the greatest of all time, displaying the greatest love of all time, it's the greatest confrontation of all time at the same time. It's the ultimate confrontation. Confrontation with how I have thought, how I have lived, and what I thought was true. It is so beautiful, yet at the same time, it's a confrontation. It confronts the thoughts that I've had, the ways that I've lived in my past, the ideas that I have had. It tells the truth and reveals to to me that there is one way, not many. That there is one God, not many. That there is one truth, and he is it. And that is confrontational. And the gospel is offensive. This story is offensive to many people for various reasons. It can be offensive to hear that there's only one way to God. One savior of the world. It can be offensive to hear that inwardly I am a sinner and I'm blind and poor and a prisoner to sin. It can be offensive to hear that I can't figure all this out, I'm not in control. And that actually science and the creator are together. That can be so offensive to hear that we can reject it. And many people do. Jesus said this interesting thing, Luke 7, verse 23. He said, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Blessed is the person who's not offended by the way I'm doing things, by the truth I'm revealing, by what I'm saying to you, by what the way I'm saying, this is the way to live, this is not the way to live, this is sin. If you don't get offended by that, you're a blessed person. Sometimes love or kindness or doing the right thing will elicit a response in someone that is an offense because of something else that's happened or a way that they're thinking. So sometimes love isn't received, right? We can get all kind of offended. But just because someone gets offended doesn't mean what you're saying or doing is wrong or that the gospel is wrong. It's not. Love is often misunderstood. The gospel demands a response. It demands that confrontation, when that confrontation comes of what's true and what's real. The Bible says that God gives every person a measure of faith, enough to believe. But then we do with that what we want. He never forces anyone to choose it, right? But he gives you enough faith to believe it. He gives you enough faith by looking around at everything that he's made to go, you know what? There really has to be a God. This cannot just be happenstance. And then you hear the gospel story. He's given every person enough faith to believe. And that gospel message comes with this, not only confrontation, but a moment of decision of, do I choose right now? You know, when Jesus walked along the shoreline and there is Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they've been fishing, and he says to them, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. You know, there wasn't a lot of other words other than that. But there was some sort of confrontation in a very moment that here is the author of life speaking to them and inviting them, and it says they made this choice to clip in. They chose to follow him. They left everything they had and they followed him. That's incredible to me that they did that. But they did. Something, I think, beyond his words, just like words I'm speaking right now, I think something beyond those words was going to ride inside their heart. And Jesus was saying to them on the inside of them, to their whole being, not just their ears, to their whole being, come on, guys, follow me. You know that feeling. You've had that call, that knock on your door. You're going one way, your way, the way you think is right. A lifeline comes, the gospel message comes, a heart invitation comes, and you make a choice right there. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to receive this. I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to follow a person, not a religion, not a denomination, not a church meeting. I'm going to follow the person of Jesus Christ. That's that beautiful repentance. And this gospel of the kingdom is to be shared, is to be talked about and displayed through our lives the way that we live. Not kept to ourselves or hid. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. We are not, once we are awakened, once we are born again, as Jesus said, once we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, our sins have been forgiven, we've responded and clipped in to Him, we are to continue to shine, not to hide it. It's not supposed to be a secret. It's not supposed to be hidden. It's supposed to be shared. Romans 10:14 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that something? Whoever, any person. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. Good news of good things. How beautiful are the feet of a person who brings the gospel of the kingdom, who shares it. Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom, this is Jesus, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Not this message of fear, condemnation, judgment, but the message of the kingdom of life in the person of Jesus. And when that message is spread around the world, then the end will come. We have some great work to do that we get to do. How do we do this? You know, I found that most people like to talk about themselves. Have you found that to be true? Most people like to talk about themselves. If we will ask people questions, they can begin talking, and then we can share the truth along the way, or ask them a question that leads to him. There are many thousands, hundreds of thousands in our own country. The world outside of this country, even more. Again, I'm not talking about religion, but the gospel of the kingdom. That story. So we can ask people their story. I'll just encourage you to do that. When you meet someone, if you have a minute to say, what's your story? I do that often with people. And you ask them their story, all of a sudden, here comes their world to you. And then you can share other things or maybe pray with them. That's also a thing. I'll ask someone what their story is. As they start talking, you realize they're sick or there's a disease or there's a real hardship that they're going through. Then maybe you could just say, hey, I know this may sound a little weird, but would you allow me to pray for you? And if they say yes, and most people will. Do you realize that? Most people will say yes if you ask them if you can pray for them. Oftentimes, they're thinking, when you get home at night, before you go to bed, you're going to say a prayer. They're not expecting you to do it right then. But they'll still usually let you. Not everyone. Some people will say some unkind things to you and tell you to go away. That happens too. But it's okay, because you never know what seed was just planted, what hope was just given, what God will use later in their life. God does the convicting. Man, I'm so glad he does that part. Aren't you glad that your job is not to convict people of sin? Oh my goodness, that's such a freeing thing. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and he's so good at it. Our job is to love and share life and share the gospel of the kingdom with people. The story of what Jesus has done for me and for you. And then he can do the rest. And we don't want to hide it. Now, I realize most of you in here are probably not called with the evangelist calling. But we're all called to shine light and to disciple people. Every single one of us. I don't have this evangelistic calling on my life necessarily. But I am called to shine. Called to disciple, to help teach and train all of us. I remember when I was 19 years old. I had grown up in church, met the Lord when I was 7. To the best of my ability, I was following the Lord, had my struggles and all those things. But I remember this one day where the thought came to me I've never led anybody to Jesus before. I was 18, 19, and just thought, I've never led anybody to Jesus before. Why? Why? I've tried to live the right way. I've tried to share sometimes with people. And instantly, the Lord reminded me of something I had done wrong. It was this beautiful conviction. This is how the Holy Spirit, his conviction has hope attached to it. Right? Everything that God does, there's hope attached to it. So the conviction was, he brought to my mind a time where I lied to several people about something. Instantly. And I had moved away, 1,200 miles away from where I had done those things. Right? So it's no one knew. And as soon as those came to mind, I knew what God was saying. I want you to take ownership for your lies. I want to use you. I want to do things through you that you want to do, but I want you to own this. And so I did. It was so embarrassing. I owned it and I called all those people. And I confessed my sin to them, what I had done, what I'd said. And it was super embarrassing. It was the most, at that point in my life, most embarrassing thing I'd ever done. And to explain this and to own it and to, oh boy, you know, when you own your stuff. But guess what? I hung up the phone, the last person. Woo! Freedom. I've just taken full ownership. And Lord's forgiven me. The next day, or it was either the day after that, it was right that week. I'm driving home from work that day. I worked at UPS at the time in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm driving up this road, and there's a stoplight. And just before the stoplight, there's a car. I'm in like a 50-mile-an-hour zone, like three lanes. And there's a car stopped in the middle of the road on a green, just sitting there in the fast lane. And I just thought, someone's going to get hurt. I mean, someone's going to plow into this and get really hurt. So I came up, turned my emergency flashers on, came up behind the car and stopped. And I got out and went up to the car, and it was running. There was no one in it. And so I just thought, yeah, this is so weird. I mean, I've just repented of my sin and all this stuff just before that. So I open the door and I start pushing the car to get it out of the road so someone doesn't run into it. As I do that, two people jump out of the ditch, which is right there, and it's a man and a woman, and she's like almost hysterical. And then they helped me push the car off the side of the road, and she said this was my car, but she had been drinking a little bit, and she got to that stoplight and the transmission went, and she freaked out, so she jumped in the ditch. And left the car there. She didn't want to get caught by the police. So I didn't know any of that, of course. I'm telling more of the story than I'd planned. So I asked her, well, you know, where do you need to go? And I had a friend of mine with me, and she told me, I said, well, I'll take you home. This is way before cell phones, right? So I said, I'll give you a ride home. Okay. So she gets in the back seat. My buddy and I are in the front. And I ask her a question. I don't remember what it was at the time even. And she says, oh my God. Oh my God. You're an angel. I said, no. Not an angel. But she said, I was just watching. At that point, it was a 700 club. And she said, this man shared about Jesus in the gospel, and I knew it was true, and I didn't respond. And I took her to my youth pastor's house. And it was like 11 at night, woke him up with his pregnant wife. And we all got in this living room, and we all got on our knees as she gave her life to Jesus right there. And I got to be a part of leading my first person to the Lord, right? That moment. Isn't that something? When we respond to, whether it's conviction and the truth, or we respond to this message of the gospel of the kingdom, we partner with him in what he is doing on the earth. Do you realize one of the biggest distractions on the planet is the pursuit and chasing after the American dream and having more rather than chasing after God's dream of saving the world? right? He wants us to have things. He wants us to be taken care of. We're his kids. He wants every one of us taken care of. But if our pursuit, our main pursuit, are things, then we're going to miss out on those he wants to save all around us. And he wants to use every single one of us. So, Lord, here we are, your kids, that you have revealed your gospel good news of the kingdom to our hearts. You have saved us. You've ripped us from the kingdom of darkness, and you've placed us in the kingdom of the Son. You've shown us the way that you have made. You've filled us with your Spirit. We've been born again. And now, Lord, you said, Jesus, that the same works that you did, we will do also when we believe you. The same kind of things. And we want to see, we want your dream to be fulfilled of a world saved, that they would know you. We want to see your dream, more than our dream of having everything. We want your dream fulfilled through us. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in the earth as it is in heaven. And while our eyes are closed, if there's anybody in here and you do not know Jesus, you've not clipped in to the rescue line in all of the universe, the one who saves you from death, who helps you live eternally, who cleanses your sin, who sets you free, who gives you purpose for being alive. He wants to know you. He wants that fellowship with you. He wants to save you, to set you free.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.